O Lord, open your Son's word to us, that we might also be open to his word. Amen. Do please take a seat. Hello, welcome. If you haven't met me, if I haven't met you, my name's Joe. If this is your first time visiting us or close to your first time, you're especially welcome. I want to begin with a personal story. It was a few years ago. I was visiting my family for Christmas, and it was Boxing Day night, and I'd just gotten to bed to sleep when I found that my mum was stirring me awake. And it was one of those moments you could tell straight away that things weren't okay. And she said, "It's your dad." And so I found myself going downstairs to the lower room, and he was there, bent over in pain. And if you ever met my dad, you'd know that he's not the sort of person who ever makes a fuss about anything at all. But I could tell that he was worried. And we called an ambulance. And as we got into it and I was sitting there with him and holding his hand, I remember feeling so frightened. Because it was one of those situations that was just so totally unpredictable. Just a few hours before, we'd been playing board games, laughing over Cluedo. And it was also so obviously totally outside of my control. And in the days that came next, as you go kind of through the round of doctors and diagnoses, that feeling only sharpened. It was one of those situations where nobody could tell you what was going to happen next. There was no guarantee about the future. And at some point, every one of us will have experienced those unpredictable, out-of-control fears. The things that we can't control, that frighten us. One pastor calls them the dreaded Ds, the Ds of climate and conflict disaster, or debt, or job dismissal, or of disease diagnosis and death. For some of us, I think what we're afraid of are the out-of-control things that are out there, the global events, some of which we'll be praying about tonight. And for other of us, I think the things that we're afraid of are the out-of-control scary things in here, that the things in our personal lives. So it might be the fear over a mortgage, or a loan repayment, as the recession kicks in, as interest rates rise, the gap between the budget and the bills. Or maybe it's the doctor's phone call, the unexpected diagnosis, either for ourselves or for somebody else. Like Mikey Williams, a young, healthy man who many in this congregation will know, who's very happy to have his situation shared, who's come down with an incurable brain tumour. What do we do with the unpredictable, out-of-control things that we're afraid of? In this short passage, in John chapter 6, Jesus comes to his disciples and he comes to us and he says, "I've got something to teach you." And it's something that we need to know in the face of everything that frightens us. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, we need to fear Jesus' divine power more so that we'll fear everything else less in his divine presence. We need to fear Jesus' divine power more so that we'll fear everything else less in his divine presence. Now, I think that can sound pretty strange. I think it is strange on a number of levels. So we're going to unpack it in two parts from our passage on page 4. First, be more afraid of Jesus, the powerful Lord, so that second, we're less afraid with Jesus, the present rescuer. So first, be more afraid of Jesus, the powerful Lord, from verses 16 to 19. Because the first thing that John draws our attention to is the context of a totally out-of-control creation. Verse 16, when evening came, Jesus' disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and they set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. Here the disciples are, they're getting onto a boat, they're alone, without Jesus, in the darkness, on a lake that's famous for sudden violent storms as the southeast cold air hits the moist warm air over the lake. And the wind starts blowing, and the sea starts stirring. And verse 19, they've rowed about 3 or 4 miles, that's about halfway across this lake. They've got absolutely nowhere else to go. Objectively, by any standard, that's a frightening, unpredictable, out-of-control situation. But we also have to see this event from the first century Jewish perspective, from the eyes of the disciples. Because in the Old Testament, a stormy sea represents all the forces of chaos. It stands for all of the natural and social devastation and destruction that we could ever face. It stands for all of the dark spiritual forces. In fact, it stands for everything uncontrollable in our world, everything that might frighten us. So on the Bible's own terms, we're seeing the disciples not only facing an unpredictable, out-of-control storm, but an unpredictable, out-of-control world. Those dreaded D's of climate disaster, of debt, of dismissal, of disease, diagnoses, and death. Everything in a word that frightens us is summed up in this storm. Everything that is frightening. But here's the thing to notice. It's not the storm, or even what it represents, that frightened the disciples out on the lake that night. Verse 18, a strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water. And, implication then, they were frightened. They're afraid when they see Jesus. Not struggling in the wind and waves, but strolling like you or I might stroll through Hyde Park. As one writer puts it, the storm that unsettles them isn't the storm on the sea, it's not the stirring of the waters, it's the stirring of their categories. They're not afraid so much of the out-of-control creation as they're afraid of Jesus appearing as the in-control creator. A flesh and blood man with all the power and authority of God over his world. Because in the book of Job, it says of God, he alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. Psalm 77, our first reading, says of God, the waters saw you and writhed. Your path led through the sea. So this isn't just another miracle. It's not Jesus being like a magician playing at party tricks. And it's not even him saying, look, I'm more powerful than everything else you fear, like taking a champion boxer and comparing them to the school bully. He's saying, I'm the source of all power. He's saying, I am power. I'm God. There's no contest here. All of this, everything you fear, is under my feet. Literally, I can walk all over it. And Jesus confirms with his lips what the disciples have seen with their eyes. If you look at verse 20, Jesus speaks, and his first word there are quite respectably translated, it is I. But actually, what he says is, I am. It's the divine name. It's the name that God gave to Moses when he met him at the burning bush. Jesus says, I am the I am. I am the Lord. I'm Jehovah. I'm Yahweh. This is my creation, and I'm coming close to you. And the disciples are more afraid of his divine power than they are of anything else. Jesus has broken all of their categories. He isn't tameable or boxable anymore, a prophet or a king or a wise teacher, just like the crowds were saying. And they don't know what to do with him. Do you know what to do with him? The Jesus who stirs up our categories, man and creator together. Because it's so easy to get Jesus wrong. And if I can put it like this, I think perhaps, whether we call ourselves a Christian or not, sometimes we want to get Jesus wrong. I mean, after all, that would be so much less uncomfortable, so much less demanding, if we could just tone him down a little bit. Because if Jesus has the Creator's power, then he must also have the Creator's authority. He must also have the right to make claims on every part of our lives. To misquote C.S. Lewis in his Narnia stories, he's not a tame lord. And that is challenging. But here's why it's such good news as well. Because in the face of everything we fear beyond our control, when we're more afraid of Jesus' divine power, we'll be less afraid of everything else in his divine presence. That's our second point. We can be less afraid with Jesus, the present rescuer, from verses 20 to 21. Because look again at Jesus' words in verse 20, how he finishes there. He said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Literally, that's just four words. All he says in the passage, "I am, no fear." Because being frightened, it was the necessary initial reaction to Jesus showing his divine power. But, and I think this is really key, that initial reaction is meant to turn into a very different sort of fear. Into awe, into recognition, into responsiveness. And that awe doesn't drive us away from Jesus. It actually begins to drive out every other fear. Fear of everything in life that we can't predict and that we can't control. Because Jesus is saying, precisely because I'm the terrifying, the in-control creator, I'm also the one who can be your present savior. John wants us to get that so much. So a few verses earlier than our passage in verse 4, he says, all this is happening before the Passover, when the Lord brought his people out of Egypt from slavery. And earlier that very day, Jesus had fed 5,000 families with five loaves and two fish, which conjures up the Lord feeding the Israelites in the wilderness with bread from heaven. So when we come to Jesus in this moment and see him walking on the storm towards his disciples, totally afraid, we're meant to remember another moment, another great rescue when Jesus came to a different body of water, to the Red Sea. When the Israelites huddled on the seashore, surrounded by everything that frightened them. When the Israelite women and children were looking back at death behind them in the form of the approaching Egyptian chariots, and looking forward at death in front of them in the form of those waves. And we're meant to recall God opening up the seas, when in the words of our first reading, he made his path through the sea, though his footsteps couldn't be seen, so that his people could walk safely through everything they feared with him to freedom and to safety. Jesus' actions and words, they're saying, I am the I am God. I'm still in control of everything out of your control. And just like at the Red Sea, I'm here with you. I'm here for a great rescue. I'm here to bring you through all the darkness and all the chaos of this world. Fear me more. That's recognize and respond to my divine power, and you'll fear everything else less in my divine presence. That's why the disciples are so willing to have him onto the boat. They know he's good news for them. But we might ask, okay, Joe, that's a bunch of blokes on a boat 2,000 years ago, but how can I be sure that Jesus is still good news for me? How can I be sure that he still wants to come present and that when he does, he's going to be in control working for my good in all of those out of control things that we fear? One of my favorite stories, true story, is the story of a man called Desmond Doss. He was a Medal of Honor winner, a medic in World War II. During the Battle of Okinawa, Desmond repeatedly went back again and again into a hail of bullets through the mud in the dark to rescue 75 injured comrades one by one. And as he brought them to the battle's edge, he'd then lower them by hand over a 400-foot cliff to get them to safety. And here's the thing. After he got them through that battlefield, through the barbed wire, through the bullets, none of those men thought that he was going to stop there. None of them thought that he was going to then leave them on the edge of the cliff. They knew that he brought them through the worst so they could be confident that he was going to bring them through the rest. And in the same way, we can know that because Jesus has done absolutely everything to bring us through the worst, he's totally committed to bringing us through the rest. Because sometime after the storm on the sea, Jesus went through another storm for us. The most out of control, unpredictable storm of all, death. He died on the cross, but he rose to life, making a way through the sea of death for all who believe in him, all who say, yes, I see that you're this powerful, in control creator. Yes, I want your presence. And death's already under his feet. And so in a very real way, it's under our feet too. He's risen, so we will rise. And because Jesus has done absolutely everything to bring us through death, we can be 100% secure knowing that he'll bring us through everything in life. So here's the question for us, if we wouldn't yet say we're a Christian. Will you welcome Jesus into your boat? Recognize his power, want his presence. Lots of reasons we might not want to. If we've begun to appreciate his power and authority as the in-control creator, then that's going to mean change. If you're beginning to appreciate that, and that actually feels a little bit scary, then can I encourage you? That means you're starting to get who he is. That's wonderful. But look what it means to have him close. You need not fear the things outside of your control the way that you do. Because he says to those who welcome him in, yo, you're right. You're not in control of that. But I am. And I'm in control for your good. I've already proved that by taking you through the biggest and most unpredictable, most dangerous, uncontrollable storm that you can face, death. And I can be in the boat with you through all of the other storms. And if we're Christians, how does recognizing Jesus' divine power mean we fear everything else less in practice? Well, this will apply for all of the out-of-control things we fear, from climate disaster through to job dismissal. But say we were to get the diagnosis that we dread. If we know the terrifyingly in-control Jesus is present with us, then that will mean that we'll begin to do two things, that there are two things that we can do. First, because he's in control, we can pray with boldness. Because we can't control the outcome, but he can. And we may not have the power to change things, but he does. And so we should pray like it. We don't have to be stoic as if somehow it's more spiritual to not ask for relief. We can ask for healing because he can bring it. And he will if it's for our ultimate good. And that takes us to the second thing that we can do too. Because he's in control, and that means we can trust him with confidence. Even when the outcome we pray for doesn't come. Because even if it feels like it, it does often feel like it. we're not actually at the mercy of random or malign forces. He's still in control. He's still present with us. And he will be working out all things for the good of those who love him. That doesn't mean we're going to understand it. We don't know why the in-control Jesus brings healing to some and not to others. Just like the disciples couldn't get how this could be a man and God on the waves. And of course, there will be times where we feel utterly overwhelmed. I remember in the days after my dad's going into hospital, driving to the hospital and parking in the car park and just sobbing totally uncontrollably, repeating the same few words, kind of half a prayer over and over again, totally emotionally exhausted. When you do face the out of control things you fear, it can be very, very bleak. But Jesus being terrifyingly in control and our present rescuer in life's boat, it does mean that though we may feel overwhelmed, we won't be overwhelmed in the end. Whether things change or the way we want them to or whether they don't. Jesus' total power over all of the things that we're afraid of does make us less afraid over time. As we hear him saying, "I am, don't fear." As those words become printed in us, as we make them our watchword. Because in the end, absolutely everything that we fear will be overcome by him. Whether that's now or when he comes to renew this world, when he comes to bring our resurrection. To conclude, I want to finish with that story of my dad and I, that Christmas. We're both Christians. We both believe Jesus has this great power. And in the face of that out of control situation, we were able to begin to find it possible to pray. Even in loads of anxiety, through a lot of tears, we were able to trust him and to ask him for healing, but also to trust him with whatever might come next, even though we didn't know what was going to come. Now, my dad did recover, but by all accounts, in the case of Mikey Williams, with his incurable brain tumor, he's still able to say the same thing, still eager to say the same thing to as many people as he can. In huge confusion and grief, he knows that Jesus is in control of everything he can't control. He knows that Jesus is with him. He knows that Jesus has broken the permanence of death. And he knows that he's going to come back and he's going to walk over absolutely every storm that we fear. Fear, recognize Jesus' divine power to fear less in Jesus' presence. I am, no fear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus is in control and that he's present with us. Help us recognize his divine power more so that with him we begin to fear everything else out of our control less. In Jesus' name, amen.